This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the conversation premortem to reduce anxiety before a difficult feedback meeting. A practical pre-meeting ritual that turns dread into confident preparation. In short, after reading this, you will know how to use the conversation pre-mortem to prepare for a difficult feedback meeting with confidence and clarity. Identify the specific scenarios you fear most before the meeting happens. Build a ready response for each scenario so anxiety has nowhere to grow. Walk into the room prepared, not just rehearsed. Definition: a conversation pre-mortem is a structured preparation technique where you map out what could go wrong in a difficult feedback meeting before it takes place, assess the likelihood of each scenario, and create a specific plan to handle each one. It converts anticipatory anxiety into actionable readiness. Picture this. You have a feedback meeting scheduled for Thursday. You know what you need to say. You have been over the talking points a dozen times. But the moment you sit down across from that person, something shifts. Your throat tightens. Your carefully prepared words dissolve. The conversation takes a turn you did not expect, and you leave the room feeling like you failed the person you were trying to help. That moment is not a failure of knowledge. It is a failure of preparation at the right level. Most people prepare what they want to say. Very few prepare for what might actually happen. That gap is where the conversation premortem lives. I introduce this approach in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, and in 20 years of teaching it, nothing I have shared has done more to quiet the dread that comes before hard feedback conversations. The conversation premortem is not a trick. It is a disciplined thinking process that takes the fear out of the unknown by making the unknown visible. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process you can apply immediately. Why pre-meeting feedback anxiety is harder to beat than it looks. Most people know that giving feedback matters. Knowing it and doing it well are two very different things, as I once heard put plainly. Knowing what to do and actually doing it are two different things. The gap is real. Here is why it persists even for experienced communicators. Anticipatory anxiety fires before the meeting even begins. Your mind rehearses catastrophic outcomes, not realistic ones. The fear of how someone might react can be worse than any actual reaction, and it distorts your preparation before you even open your mouth. Feedback lands on a person's identity, not just their performance. When you tell someone their work needs to change, they may hear that they need to change. That weight sits on both sides of the table, and most feedback givers feel it acutely. You cannot fully control the other person's response. Defensiveness, silence, pushback, or tears. Any of these can derail even a well-prepared conversation. Without a plan for handling those moments, the fear of them grows. The emotional stakes cloud your judgment about tone and timing. You might soften feedback until it loses its meaning, or deliver it so bluntly that it damages trust. Finding the right register under pressure is genuinely difficult. Most preparation focuses on content, not contingency. People rehearse what they will say, but not what they will do if the conversation goes sideways. That leaves a critical gap. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin the pre-mortem process, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your specific feedback message. Before you can anticipate how a conversation might go wrong, you need to know precisely what you are trying to communicate, not a general impression, not a feeling. A clear, specific observation: what happened, what the impact was, and what change you are asking for. If this is still fuzzy, work on it before anything else. You can read more about structuring this and how to use the SBVI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides. Number two, your honest intention. Ask yourself why you are having this conversation. If the honest answer is to correct behavior and preserve the relationship, you are ready. If any part of the answer is frustration, point scoring, or self-protection, address that first. Your intention shapes every word you deliver, even when you think you're hiding it. Number three, a realistic sense of the other person. Think about how this individual typically responds to direct feedback. Are they reflective? Defensive? Emotionally expressive? You do not need to predict perfectly. You just need to begin with what you already know about them, so your scenarios in the pre-mortem are grounded in reality, not in abstract worst cases. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Write down your three biggest fears about this conversation. This step names the specific anxieties that are quietly running your preparation, so you can face them directly instead of carrying them as background noise. Most people walk into a feedback meeting with several unnamed fears sitting just below the surface. The conversation pre-mortem brings those fears into the open. That act alone, putting the fear in writing, reduces its power significantly. Naming the emotion shrinks it. What was a shapeless dread becomes a specific, manageable concern. Take a blank sheet of paper and write down the three scenarios you fear most. Be honest. Be specific. Not it could go badly, but rather what exact moment do you dread? Number 1. Write the first fear as a complete sentence. I'm afraid that she will cry and I will not know what to do. Number 2. Write the second fear with the same specificity. I am afraid he will deny it happened and I will lose confidence in what I know to be true. Number 3. Write the third fear, even if it feels embarrassing to admit. I am afraid I will say something clumsy and make things worse. Number 4. Read each one back to yourself slowly. Notice which one carries the most charge. Here is a real example of what this looks like in practice. A team leader I worked with was preparing to give feedback to a long-serving colleague about repeated lateness. Her biggest fear, written out. I'm afraid he will make me feel guilty for raising it, because he has been here longer than me. Once she wrote that down, she could see it for what it was, a concern about her own authority, not about the feedback itself. That clarity changed how she prepared for everything that followed. Writing your fears does not make you weak. It makes your preparation honest. Step 2. Assess the likelihood of each scenario. Fear has a habit of treating unlikely outcomes as certainties. This step builds some honest distance between your anxious imagination and what is actually probable. For each of the three fears you wrote in step 1, you're now going to assign a realistic probability. Not to dismiss the fear, but to give it an accurate weight. The point of this step is not to tell yourself nothing bad will happen. It is to stop your mind from treating every catastrophe as equally likely. Number 1. Score each fear on a simple scale: low, medium, or high likelihood, based on what you actually know about this person and this situation. Number 2. Write one sentence explaining why you gave it that score. I rated this medium because she has been defensive before, but she has always come around after some reflection. Number 3. For any fear rated medium or high, note whether it has happened in a previous conversation with this person or others. Number 4. Cross out any fears you rated low. They do not need a contingency plan. They need to be released. Number 5. Keep your medium and high fears on a separate sheet. These are the ones the next step will address directly. This process is what I describe and say it right every time as the core of the conversation pre-mortem, not optimistic thinking, but accurate thinking. The goal is calibration, not false reassurance. After this step, you'll have a short, honest list of the scenarios that actually warrant preparation. That list is your real agenda. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Write a prepared response for each realistic fear. This is where the pre-mortem pays off. For each scenario you kept from step 2, you build a specific, word-level response so you're never caught without a plan. Vague preparation produces vague confidence. You need actual words, not a script you will read verbatim, but a set of responses you've thought through and can reach for if the moment calls for them. Think of this as packing a first aid kit before a long walk. You hope you do not need it, but having it changes how you walk. Number 1. For each remaining fear, write a response that begins with acknowledgement, show you heard the person before you redirect. Number 2. Keep your response to 3 sentences or fewer. Brevity under pressure is a skill. Number 3. Practice saying the response out loud at least twice, not just reading it silently. Number 4. Check that your response stays focused on the specific behavior and its impact. Do not let it drift into general complaints. Here is an example script for the fear of denial. If your colleague says, I do not think that is what happened, your prepared response might sound like this. I understand we may remember it differently. Here is what I observed specifically. State the facts clearly. I'm raising this because I want us to find a way forward that works for both of us. That response acknowledges the disagreement, anchors to specific facts rather than impressions, and signals collaborative intent. It is prepared, not improvised. That is the difference between a conversation that holds its ground and one that collapses under the first pushback. This step directly builds the confidence competence loop described in Chapter 6 of Say It Right. Every time practice builds competence, small successes build confidence, and that confidence drives further practice. A prepared response is a small act of competence that gives you something solid to stand on. Step 4. Clarify your intention and opening statement. Before you walk into the room, you need one clear sentence that states what this conversation is for, not what is wrong, what you are hoping to build. Most feedback conversations go badly in the first 60 seconds, not because the feedback is wrong, but because the person receiving it does not understand why they are there. They feel ambushed. They go defensive before you have said anything meaningful. A clear opening statement solves this. It signals safety, not attack. You can learn more about creating that kind of opening in how to use the empathy bridge before delivering critical feedback. Number 1. Write one sentence that names your intention. I want to have an honest conversation about specific issue because I think it matters for how we work together. Number 2. Avoid openers that start with I need to talk to you about a problem. That phrase puts people on the defensive immediately. Number 3. Check that your opener does not contain blame, accusation, or judgment. It states a purpose, nothing more. Number 4. Read the opener aloud. Does it sound like something a person would say? Or does it sound rehearsed and stiff? Adjust until it feels natural. Number 5. Pair the opener with a brief acknowledgement of the relationship. I'm raising this because your work matters to this team, and I want to support you. The role of emotional intelligence in feedback conversations, particularly in how you open them, is something I explore more fully in the role of emotional intelligence in team synergy. A strong opener is an act of empathy before a single piece of feedback has been delivered. After this step, you'll have a statement you can say with genuine conviction rather than something that sounds like you read it off a card. Step 5. Practice the recovery, not just the delivery. Most people practice what they want to say. Almost nobody practices what they will do when something goes wrong mid-conversation. This step changes that. Even the best prepared feedback conversation can hit a moment that throws you. Someone says something that lands hard. You use a word that comes out wrong. There is an unexpected silence that stretches too long. Without a recovery plan, these moments feel catastrophic. With one, they're just moments. And Say It Right Every Time, I call this the 3-step mistake recovery. Acknowledge, correct, move on. It is covered in Chapter 6, and it applies directly to feedback conversations. Number 1. Write down one sentence you can use to acknowledge a fumble. Let me try that again. I do not think I said that the way I meant it. Number 2. Practice a calm, slow breath between the fumble and the recovery. The pause is part of the recovery, not a sign of failure. Number 3. Identify one phrase you can use if the conversation becomes unexpectedly emotional. I hear you. Let us take a moment before we continue. Number 4. Rehearse the full conversation once, including the moment it goes wrong, and then practice recovering out loud. Here is what recovery sounds like in practice. You are mid-conversation, and you realize you have come across as critical rather than constructive. You stop and say, "You know what? I do not think that came out right. Let me try again." What I mean is that I see real strength in how you approach this work, and I want to help you channel that more effectively. That is not weakness. That is the kind of presence that builds trust during hard conversations. Your ability to recover with confidence is often more impressive than not making a mistake at all. After this step, a stumble is no longer a disaster. It is something you have already rehearsed handling. Step 6. Set your physical and mental state before you enter. A feedback conversation does not begin when you open your mouth. It begins the moment the other person sees you walk in. Your posture, your breathing, and the steadiness in your eyes all communicate before you say a single word. This is what I mean by nonverbal confidence as a critical communication component. Your body is already speaking. The question is whether it is saying what you intend. The strong method outlined in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time begins exactly here, with state your intention and take a breath, for precisely this reason. Number 1. 5 minutes before the meeting, stand or sit upright and take 3 slow, deliberate breaths. This is not theatrical. It physically lowers your heart rate. Number 2. Say your opening statement aloud one final time, in a quiet space, at the pace you intend to use in the room. Number 3. Remind yourself of your intention in one sentence. I am here to help this person, not to win an argument. Number 4. Check your face in a mirror or a phone camera. Are you frowning? Set your expression to neutral, not forced cheerfulness. Number 5. Leave your phone face down in your pocket. Full presence is a form of respect, and the other person will feel its absence immediately. The role of communication in meeting success covers this broader principle well. How you show up before the content begins states how the content lands. Preparation that ends at your notes is preparation that stops too soon. Step 7. Debrief after the meeting to build your next conversation. The conversation pre-mortem does not end when the meeting does. What you do in the 30 minutes after a difficult feedback conversation determines how well you perform in the next one. Every hard feedback conversation is data. Whether it went smoothly or stumbled, there is something to learn. The master method from chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time closes with this exact principle. Reflecting afterward. Most people skip it because the relief of being done overwhelms the discipline of debriefing. That is a loss. Number 1. Within 30 minutes of the meeting, write 2 sentences what you felt went well and what you would do differently. Number 2. Return to your pre-mortem sheet. Which of your feared scenarios actually occurred? Which did not. Number 3. Note whether your prepared responses held up under pressure, or whether you abandoned them and improvised. Number 4. If the conversation went sideways in a way you did not anticipate, add that scenario to your pre-mortem template for the future. Number 5. Write 1 sentence about what you learned about this specific person's communication style that you did not know before. The goal of this debrief is to convert experience into competence. Every feedback conversation you give makes you better at the next one, but only if you take 30 minutes to extract the lesson. That is how the competence-competence loop closes. You act, you reflect, you grow more capable, and that capability makes the next conversation less frightening. You are not practicing to be perfect. You are practicing to be ready for whatever comes. Adapting this process for remote feedback meetings. Remote feedback meetings require specific adjustments because the medium strips away some of the most important signals that help both parties feel safe and heard. Over a video call, you lose the full texture of body language. A person's shoulders, their posture in the chair, the small physical signals that tell you whether someone is with you or shutting down, these are all compressed into a small rectangle on a screen. You are working with less information, and so is the person receiving your feedback. Build extra clarity into your pre-mortem scenarios. Remote conversations are more likely to produce misread tone. Prepare for the possibility that your feedback sounds harsher over video than it would in person, and build softer bridging language into your prepared responses. Account for technology as a variable. A dropped call or frozen screen mid-feedback can break the emotional thread of the conversation in a damaging way. Prepare a short message you can send immediately if the connection fails. We lost the connection at a difficult moment. I want to continue this properly. Can we reschedule for today or tomorrow? Compensate for reduced nonverbal cues with more explicit verbal check-ins. Instead of reading the room, you will need to ask directly, "How are you sitting with what I just said?" This feels more explicit than it does in person, but it is necessary. What is psychological safety and how it drives team synergy explains why this check-in matters, particularly for feedback that touches on sensitive performance issues. Do not use text or email to deliver the core feedback, even if the conversation feels hard to schedule. Choose the richest medium available, video first, then phone, never text. The communication medium richness hierarchy principle is clear: the harder the conversation, the richer the medium it requires. The core process holds across all settings. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: skipping the pre-mortem when the feedback feels straightforward. Why it happens: you assume a calm person means an easy conversation, but people surprise you, and even mild feedback can land hard depending on timing and context. What to do instead? Run a shortened version of the pre-mortem for every feedback conversation, not just the ones that feel obviously difficult. 10 minutes of preparation is always worth it. The mistake: preparing only what you will say, not what you will do. Why it happens: scripting your message feels like preparation. It is, but it is only half of it. Conversations are two-way, and the other person has not read your script. What to do instead? For every key point you plan to make, prepare one possible response to pushback or silence. The mistake, rating all feud scenarios as equally likely. Why it happens, anxiety flattens probability. When you are nervous, everything feels like it could happen. What to do instead? Force yourself to assign a real likelihood to each scenario. A low probability fear does not need a contingency plan. Eliminate it and focus your energy where it matters. The mistake. Practicing the pre-mortem silently, without speaking your words aloud. Why it happens. Reading through your notes feels like preparation. But your mouth and your mind are different instruments. What to do instead? Say every key phrase, opener, and recovery response out loud at least twice before the meeting. If it sounds stiff spoken, it will sound stiff in the room. The mistake. Skipping the post-meeting debrief because you are relieved it is over. Why it happens. Relief is powerful. The temptation to move on is real. What to do instead? Set a 5-minute reminder for 30 minutes after the meeting ends. Use that time to write 2 sentences, what worked and what you would change. You can also find more on building feedback conversations. Strengthen rather than fracture working relationships in how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each feedback conversation. I have written down the specific feedback message I intend to deliver with concrete examples. I have identified my honest intention for this conversation. I have written down my 3 biggest fears about how this meeting could go wrong. I have assessed the realistic likelihood of each fear and eliminated low probability scenarios. I have prepared a specific word-level response for each remaining scenario. I have written and practiced my opening statement aloud. I have practiced my recovery phrase for moments where my speakers stumble. I have thought through how this person typically responds to feedback and adjusted my approach accordingly. I have set my physical state before entering the meeting, breathing, posture, full presence. I have scheduled a brief debrief with myself within 30 minutes of the meeting ending. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a structured process for facing difficult feedback meetings with genuine readiness rather than rehearsed hope. The conversation pre-mortem gives you something most people never build: a plan not just for what you will say, but for what you will do when reality diverges from the script. The conversation pre-mortem works by naming your fears specifically, assessing them honestly, and building concrete responses before anxiety has a chance to take hold. Preparation at the right level means preparing for the conversation's emotional reality, not just its content. Writing your fears down is the first act of courage. It converts vague dread into something you can work with. Practicing your recovery is as important as practicing your delivery. A stumble handled well builds more trust than a flawless performance. The post-meeting debrief closes the loop. It is how one hard conversation makes the next one less hard. Remote feedback requires extra deliberate check-ins and a richer communication medium than you might instinctively choose. The whole system works because it treats confidence as the result of preparation, not as a feeling you wait to arrive. If you want to go deeper on structuring the feedback itself, how to use the conversation pre-mortem to prepare your team for high-stakes synergy moments shows how the same approach scales to group settings. And if you're working with a team that needs feedback delivered in a way that pulls people together rather than apart, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is your next read. The full framework behind the conversation pre-mortem, including the strong method and the confidence competence loop, is in Shape Right Every Time. The conversation pre-mortem will not make hard feedback easy. Nothing does. But it will make you the kind of person who walks in prepared, stays steady when it gets difficult, and walks out knowing they gave the other person the respect of genuine honesty. Frequently asked questions. What is a conversation pre-mortem? A conversation pre-mortem is a structured preparation exercise where you identify what could go wrong in a difficult conversation before it happens, assess how likely each scenario is, and build a clear plan to handle it. It reduces anxiety by replacing vague dread with specific, actionable readiness. How does a conversation pre-mortem help with feedback anxiety? The conversation pre-mortem replaces the undefined fear of a feedback meeting with concrete scenarios and prepared responses. When you know what you will do if things go sideways, your nervous system settles. Anxiety drops not because the risk disappears, but because you have a plan for each risk. When should I use a conversation pre-mortem before a feedback meeting? Use a conversation pre-mortem anytime you're dreading a feedback conversation or feel underprepared. 1 to 2 days before the meeting is ideal. It gives you enough time to think clearly, practice your responses, and adjust your approach if you spot a gap in your preparation. How is a conversation pre-mortem different from normal meeting preparation? Normal meeting preparation focuses on what you want to say. The conversation pre-mortem focuses on what could go wrong and how you will respond. It is specifically designed to reduce anticipatory anxiety, not just organize your talking points. Both matter, but the pre-mortem addresses the emotional side that most preparation ignores. Can I use a conversation pre-mortem for remote feedback meetings? Yes, a conversation pre-mortem works for remote feedback meetings, though you need to account for technology failures, reduced emotional cues, and the risk of misreading tone over video. Build specific contingency steps for the medium you are using and practice delivering your key points without relying on body language alone. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.